You're listening to the Premier Automotive and Lifestyle Podcast with Mark Anthony Murray and Phil Mosier. This is Through the Apex.
Start your engine.
Here are your hosts, Mark Anthony Murray and Sean Rosa.
Yes. Power. Mopar power. V8s, baby. All day.
Jeremy Clarkson, power. How do you fix this? Speed and power. That's just it. Like the answer for everything. Till speed and power doesn't work.
Actually, I just read a quick, I guess it was like a little article. I don't know who posted it, but it was like top 12, or like it was all the Top Gear hosts ranked from like 12 to 1. Mm. And
oh no.
It was actually interesting that Clarkson, May, and Hammond didn't go like 1, 2, 3. Hammond was actually, I'll start here. 4 was James May.
Oh.
3 was Chris Harris.
Oh, okay.
2 was Clarkson. And 1 was Richard Hammond.
Was Richard? Yeah. People really seem to like Richard. Maybe he's just the most relatable. He's like the least douchey, I think. Because even when like I watch with Margaret or something, she's like, oh yeah, that's my favorite. That guy's my favorite. I'm like, really? I hate this guy. It's like, what does that say?
Like,
but
you mean,
like, no, I like him, but he's sometimes he's just too corny. Like, I just like Jeremy's just an asshole. Like, that's funny to me.
You gotta have all 3 of them.
No, I know that, but
Yeah.
Well, they need one another to be them, you know, like standalone. They're kind of go back to the other two. So, yeah,
that's actually speaking of them. Did you see that they did a Sabine Schmitz memorial video and they actually returned for the Top Gear video?
Wow.
Yeah, that's really nice. Good.
I'm going to look really that good. Up. Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good. They've had a lot of exposure with her, you know, anyway, like on in different levels and different scenarios. So that's really good. Yeah. Nice.
I wonder if that is like a, because I'm assuming the Amazon deal could be close to coming up at some point. I wonder if there's like a, you know, if this Sabine's passing may have possibly also ushered in some sort of peace treaty between the guys and BBC, and maybe we could see something. Let me tell you something. The one thing I would love to see is Chris Harris. Paddy McGuinness is pretty cool. I like him, but I would love to see Chris Harris and those three, the originals, Clarkson, Hammond, and May. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Chris Harris, he is one of the few people that I've actually enjoyed as a standalone, you know, editor, and just being, he doesn't need people around him to exude the energy and to, you know, be dynamic and things of that sort. Because when he was just, you know, on his own, I used to watch his video, like the F80 M3, he did a review on that before I had gotten mine that I watched extensively. And he was the only one there. You know what I mean? Like, of course he had great production, and I forgot who he, like what his organization was or who he worked for at the time. But I think it was Chris Harris on Cars. I think that was probably the name of it. But I do remember.
He also has a podcast that named that as well.
Does he? Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, he's great. You're right, though. The 4 of them would be, man, that'd be great. And Richard would have another short person to be around him.
That's right. He used to work for Autocar, and then he had a YouTube series with Ford/Drive.
Okay.
He also has written for Jalopnik as well. He's got some great credits, to be honest.
Wow, Jalopnik too, huh?
Yeah, great credits. But yes, this is 4.5 minutes into the show, and we're already talking about cars. That is a good sign for you guys. This is Through the Apex. I'm Sean Rosa, joined by Mark Anthony Murray. We have an awesome show for you guys today. And I'm really excited because Refreshing or Repulsive makes a huge return. Probably one of my favorite segments. I know I say that all the time. I just like discussing cars when it comes to aesthetics and labeling them ugly or not.
It's the easiest way to label cars.
It's the easiest way. Easiest thing to do. But of course, before we get started, and we go down our list of some great cars. I think it's going to be fun to talk about today. We do want to remind you guys to subscribe, rate, and review our show wherever you get your podcasts. We're everywhere, guys. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, even some of the more obscure platforms. So wherever you get podcasts, rate, review, and of course, subscribe. And when you do rate, give us a 5-star review.
Yes, please. We deserve it. You deserve it. We all deserve it. Amen.
Let us pray. Yeah. And if you have a moment while you're doing that, head over to Instagram. Give us a follow at @through_the_apex. Feel free to hit us up with any questions and maybe become a part of the show. We're really excited to be here with episode 60.
60.
Yeah. Man. That's a big deal.
Huge milestone, man.
Huge.
But we didn't think we'd be, you know, typically we'd probably be in person with like some, you know, some cognac at 11 o'clock in the morning celebrating number 60. It's like it's never too early when you're celebrating 60, even though we're 30s. You know what I'm saying? Like age-wise.
Age-wise, yeah.
In case you guys didn't know.
I think it would be something to celebrate if we got here when we were supposed to get here, but the fact that we just recorded episode 50 3 years ago.
Oh, man. You shouldn't have told them that, bro. Damn, bro. Now everybody know. Sorry. He's right, though, guys. There's been a lot in between. There's been a lot of buffering, but it's okay.
I mean, you've graduated twice. I've gotten married. There are cars that are in our promo pictures that we don't have anymore.
Oh, no. We have to leave them there, though, for that reason. That was like the pinnacle. Like, if we can recreate, until we can recreate that in some like majestic, magnificent manner, those pictures have to stay there because I'm not using my current car. I don't know. I don't think that'll send the same message, man.
I love my Tiguan, but it definitely screams soccer mom. I love my 025 series, but the halos don't work properly. So, yeah, I think we're going to stick with the pictures that we had from years
ago.
The Mini
can just fit in the back of the Tiguan, so it doesn't need to be seen. We'll just say it's back there. This is where
the
it is.
Mini is dope. Mini doesn't get enough love. That's a great car.
I know. I think I'll always have to own one of those. The stable will always necessitate some sort of Mini.
Next time you get one, it might be electric. Who knows?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I saw one on the road, the hardtop with the neon, you know, side view mirrors, and it has like the wheels look like a plus sign that are like hollowed out. But holy crap. It's the EV. It looked really cool, man. I saw that. That's awesome. Like, look at this. It was really nice. But I mean, electrification, it's going to make its way into every episode. So prepare yourselves.
Yeah.
Voltage is coming.
Yeah, I don't think there's been an episode since we've returned that we haven't talked about electrification, which is pretty funny. I mean, you can just get Pepco to like sponsor us at this point. Talk about electricity so goddamn much. Switching gears really quick, no pun intended. I unfortunately, we were just caught up with what we were doing in the show and just so excited to talk about all the great news that we had last week on the podium that we didn't get to talk about, the passing of Earl Simmons, DMX.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, Mark Anthony and I are obviously hip hop fans, but I'm saying obviously not because of the color of our skin, but obviously because we've made several hip hop references. Oh yeah, you're right. That's right.
Hey.
But yeah, man, DMX passed at the age of 50. He had a heart attack from an overdose and he had some complications. Mm. Really unfortunate news. I wanted to ask you, how did this particular news as a hip hop fan hit you?
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the probably like 7 or 8 artists in rotation because he's only about, you know, 20 years or so our senior. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like during the time that hip hop really became, you know, prevalent in my life and my exposure to, you know, 50 Cent, and, you know, groups like obviously 50 Cent and G-Unit were always in rotation for me, but just like Dipset and, you know, a lot of the folks, Cam'ron obviously, and DMX, a lot of folks that had radio hits as well. So it's like they were kind of forced into the limelight for a lot of people who might not have had hip hop exposure. You know, it was a combination of me listening to what I could hear on the radio versus like getting bootleg CDs from JC and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So he is an artist that I never actually like got into full fledged because I was always, I think, more focused on, I think it was the type of music I like gravitated toward, like the Young Buck and like 50 Cent type of gangster music and like the Eminem type of shit. You know what I mean? But it was like DMX as an artist. Sure. Like I was always aware of and I was always appreciative of his music, but I was never like a huge like aficionado to be able to like quote, you know, all the lyrics and stuff like that. But he was definitely, you know what I'm saying, definitely in the background there, like at all times. And he was very relevant. So hearing about it, because I hadn't heard anything from him in many years, I guess a lot of folks hadn't either, you know, and I read more about him over the last couple, you know, days or so, or the, you know, days following, you know, his passing and seeing, you know, his struggles over the course of time with, you know, addiction in the past and like in 2017 and in 2019, you know, he'd gone into rehab. And it just really sheds light on the fact that, you know, we really have to, people, you know, if you're around someone or dealing with someone, you know, that's struggling from addiction, really do everything in your power to, you know, try to get them some help, figure out what it is that they need. You know, don't turn a blind eye or a deaf ear, because I mean, it only takes a little bit to send somebody, you know, over the edge, and it's not worth it, you know. So it's like, if you really do care, you know, for folks who have, you know, loved ones who are struggling, I mean, that's, it's a real thing. So it's just really sad when it's that, you know, when that's the way to go, you know, in my opinion. But it's he definitely had an indelible mark on the music industry, and it's really sad, you know, because people like that, I mean, they represent eras for certain folks, you know, like us. It's like, that's what you associate him with, a time and a place. So it is really sad.
Yeah. I think you said it really well. And thank you for wrapping it up with that wonderful message of just helping people in need, especially when it comes to addiction. I think that's overlooked and you know, we've had so many young artists in the last few years pass from addictions or overdoses and stuff like that. I mean, 20, 22, 23 years old. I think Mac Miller was a suicide. Mm-hmm. But there were some other things there, I'm sure, that led to that. And
more struggles.
You know, he was just a few years younger than us, which is scary. But the one thing about DMX is you know, I think what's so wonderful, I'm a huge professional wrestling fan, and what I always like the characters in the pageantry, and there's so many parallels between that wrestling and hip hop, especially in the 80s and 90s. In the 90s, there were these larger than life gimmicks in hip hop, but the thing about DMX was there was no gimmick. The man that you heard on record was the man himself. That's who Earl Simmons was. He lived those things. Originally from Baltimore, Maryland, raised in Yonkers, New York, abusive relationship with growing up with his father, you know, basically was raised by his mother and grandmother. And it's just like, I think that's what drew me to him. Like when everyone was on the Nas and Jay thing, like X had me because like, he was on some super thug shit. You know what I mean? Like to the point where I will admit that, you know, in the last few years, I have not listened to his music because I had outgrown that in a way that I just didn't want to hear that kind of stuff anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
But like you said, he was a mark of an era, and I've gone back yesterday while working on it. I listened to the first three albums, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, and It's Dark and Hell Is Hot, and then there was X, and they were just such great bodies of work. And I think for me it was also just like, damn, like we might have not heard from this guy in so long, but like now he's just gone and you just won't hear from him at all. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like Yeah. 50's young, dude. 50's so young.
It is young.
And for his family to have to make a decision to pull him off, you know, life support, that is just, I don't wish on anybody to experience that. It's awful.
I know, man. It's really dark, because it's kind of like, even leading up until that point, it's like, you know that they're gone, because it's like, it's just a matter of when the decision is actually made, you know?
Yeah, so it's been a week. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I remember hearing the news initially when, you know, he was on it. And then even at that time, they were like, yeah, you know, it's just a matter of when at this time. So,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely rest in peace to X.
Yeah, rest in peace to DMX. And the last thing I'll say, because you brought up 50 Cent, I was a huge 50 Cent fan growing up, man. Like, Get Rich or Die Trying, the mixtapes before that, all the stuff with M and Aftermath. I mean, that shit was crazy, man. And, like, I'll never forget when, like, DMX and Eminem had one record together dissing Ja Rule. Like, that was, two worlds coming together, bro. Like, that was the coolest thing in the world.
The united hatred of Ja Rule.
Oh my God.
Like, there's nothing desirable about Ja Rule, man.
Let me tell you guys something. There was nothing like 90s, early 2000s hip hop, man. That shit is unmatched. That was the golden era.
And bro, like, nothing like the hip hop, but nothing like those hip hop beefs. Like, that was real. Like, when you had beef with somebody, like, in the rap game, that was some cutthroat beef. Not like, no, cutthroat. You know, I'll just give you a 16, you know, unless you're Jay, like on Takeover, and you just like literally wipe out three artists in one track or something like that. But like, the Ethers.
Ether with Nas.
You know what I mean? And like M put out like a series of diss tracks against Ja. I forgot what those were called, because JC also burned me, CDs with the series of just M rants against Ja Rule of the most disturbing nature that I could have, you know, fathomed. But that was, I mean, that rap is your venom. I mean, that is your weapon. So it's like, you get in front of a microphone and you let somebody have it. And I mean, it's just, yeah. Anyway, we're a car podcast.
I mean, they used to literally come up with, right, we're a car podcast.
Sorry.
And I promise is the last thing I'll say, but because you just brought up a great point, but like, they used to come out with mixtapes full of diss tracks, like, and it would be compilations of various artists, like, yo, we just gonna get on this, we just gonna jump on this record and we're just gonna destroy this man's career. That was it. That was the whole thing. That was hip hop. That was undeniable, so tight, you know, like
destruction.
Right. I love it. But I regress. Let's go ahead and get into Refreshing Repulsive.
From hideous.
Damn, you are ugly.
To handsome.
I want you. I want all of you forever.
We have no issues telling you what we love or hate.
Especially in Ferrari, California.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
This is Refreshing or Repulsive.
Yes, and we are going to kick off Refreshing or Repulsive with probably a controversial car. I don't understand why, but there seems to be some controversy. So we're going to do a two-pack here. This is going to be the first time I've ever done this, where we do two cars at one time for Refreshing or Repulsive. The Subaru BRZ, the 2022 Subaru BRZ, and the 2022 Toyota GT86, which I think it's just called the 86 now. But Mark Anthony, Refreshing or Repulsive? How do you split?
I just want to say, because when you said that we got two at the same time, the first thing that popped into my head was, I got Subi, I got Yoda at the same damn time. Shout out to Future, another artist that I really don't want to die before is his time to go, but you got to lay off the
lean,
the
perp.
Yeah.
All the other stuff. What's all the...
I don't know what he's doing, man. I just need some more fire. I just need some more fire mixtapes before he gone, bro. Like, all right. Anyway,
oh, God.
These two, outside of the badge, literally exactly the same, with maybe a little bit of difference in the front. I do see now, Sean got some really good pictures of the fronts of these cars, and I see that the Toyota actually has some mesh in the lower grille, and it actually gives off Z vibes. The Toyota, it's funny, like I'm gonna quote the Black Auto Enthusiast group real quick. Shout out to BAE. One day we'll definitely have some warring from the members in there, because absolutely everybody has an opinion in there, and they were all shared for the debuting of these cars. But I honestly think that they're refreshing, and here's why. I think that rear-wheel drive cars are much rarer because they tend to be more expensive and they're difficult to make. And when you see them on the road, they're either of the American variety, which, I mean, they are plentiful, obviously. But when you get into other manufacturers and other countries that make them, such as Jaguar or BMW or, you know, Mercedes-Benz, those rear-wheel drive variants are usually high performance and they're almost unobtainable for most people, honestly. And I think that Subaru and Toyota really have done a fantastic job of making rear-wheel drive sports cars obtainable for the public. For many years, the BRZ in the, you know, 86, I guess, before it was the FRS Scion, they've gotten rave reviews from auto mags and editors, and they love these things. They're chuckable. They have skinny tires on them. They're easy to oversteer. You drag them around. You can beat on them all day and they'll last. The only thing that I'll say it, you know, again, and Toyota has listened, but you've got to put a turbocharger on these things, man. Like, at least offer a variant with, you know, a turbo, because like the NA4 is great. Like, we get it. I mean, you guys have been sticking to this for a long time, but man, give it like a 2-liter four cylinder, even this 86, like that detuned motor in the Supra. Obviously, they don't want to take away from Supra sales. That'd be like the 718 nipping at the heels of the 911 if you put like a more powerful flat six in it or something like that. But I mean, I, as far as like a high school kid or like even an older person like myself who just wants like a cool little manual car to kind of zip around in, I've always loved these things, honestly. I think it's refreshing. Sorry for the rant, everyone.
Yeah, I love every... No, I love that. And I think you said everything perfectly, including the tidbit about the turbo. The biggest complaint is the, 232 maybe horsepower that both of these pack. It's a little bit up from the previous generation, but not by a lot. And admittedly, I don't think it needs to be a lot more than that. A turbo would be nice just to give you a little bit extra pep. But... I think that would obviously drive the price up just a little bit. And as you said, yeah, you don't want it undercutting that smaller ranged Supra. But they're great. And I think what I like about them is that they did try to change up the looks between the two a little bit more than previous generations. It's funny because when I think we saw the BRZ first and then Toyota just released the images of the 86 a couple of weeks ago, when I saw each of them, when I look at each of them on their own, I almost forget that they look alike. But when I see them next to each other, I'm like, oh yeah, they're the similarities.
Yeah, yeah, they did a good job with that.
Which one would you have if you had to choose one? Based, I mean, they're probably obviously the same thing mechanically, but aesthetically, what are you picking?
You know, I kind of like the '86. I'm kind of a sucker for, you know, mesh grill surrounds, mesh grills and, you know, the black surround. I do kind of like that arrow that comes on the BRZ there. I don't know if that's just going to be an add-on, but there's like a 3-part lip there. It almost looks like
that splitter there, yeah.
Yeah, the splitter. I think I'd still go with the 86, mostly because like they're bringing that back and, you know, that's a cool designation and, and all that stuff. But aesthetically, I really do like the both of them.
I do too. And I think once I saw these come out, I'm like, I mean, look, I really do want a crazy V8, but the idea of a really long-term reliable four banger sounds like a lot of fun too. And especially when it looks this great. If they take any notes from the BMW and Toyota marriage with the Supra and they make it a car where they have a lot of bolt-on areas for aftermarket parts, this could be a hell of a fun car to mod, just aesthetically speaking.
I definitely agree. But everybody, please don't straight pipe them because they're way too loud. I've heard y'all on the highway and at H2O, man, like... There's NA4 cylinders, man. Like, They're like trumpets going along the highway, bro, with no...
That's my favorite. Sound like a damn lawnmower. This next one is actually interesting, and I think a lot of you will be surprised that we're talking about this. I don't think we've ever talked about a van, unless it's a concept on the show. We've talked about the Volkswagen California and such and stuff, you know, whatever like that. But this is a 2022 Kia Carnival. And I'm going to kick this one off. I'm going to go refreshing. I've never seen a van look so good. It reminds me of the Escalade ESV. I mean, it just should be a... it should just be a massive SUV. It looks that good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really does. I do agree. I got to say that this is refreshing also. The front does with the... Kia has really done such a good job. Korean manufacturers, et cetera, et cetera. A good job at refining the existing looks of the automotive industry. And this definitely has the Cadillac and the new Explorer vibes with the grill shape and the integration of the headlights into the front. But it also, these cars are very sporty now. Like, Kias are sporty. They've officially become like a sporty brand. Like, I don't think, unless you're getting a bare bones bottom level model, like, you're going to get something that looks like it's fast, even though it probably won't be, you know what I mean? Like, but this is really cool. Like, it looks aggressive. It's got black trim and, you know, black wheels, and it's got smoked out headlamps, you know, from the inside and stuff like that. This is pretty cool. This is I think this will be a good option for the father.
It's a good point. I think my only complaint, you bring up the black wheels, and there's some black trim, but there's also some like aluminum silver trim there, some like polished brush trim looking. They should have just blacked all that out.
Yeah.
And called it a day. This would have looked great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So refreshing from you?
Refreshing. If I was a van man, or if I was forced to be a van man, I'd have the same tint that is on this render, and I would drive it.
I agree. Refreshing. Color's good too. Yeah. Next up on the list is, I think, and let's see, we'll see if we can keep the refreshing going. We have three refreshing in a row. This is the 2021 Mazda 3 Turbo. A lot of people are saying that obviously it's a great looking car, but performance wise, it you know, compared to some of the other hot hatches in the segment, which there aren't too many left, it's a little bit lacking in the performance department. What do you think about this car?
Mm-hmm. I think this is a refreshing car. I've always liked the Mazda 3 hatch. And when I was looking at smaller things like to replace the Mini with, this was actually on the short list. I really do enjoy it. It comes very well equipped. It's probably one of the better looking hatches in existence today. It's very hard to style a hatch well, just because you have a short wheelbase and you really don't have much overhang on either end of the vehicle. The only thing that I've heard about complaints with this particular one is the blind spot with the hatch because of the way they did that C-pillar. It's really weird. You can even see it in the photo there. The window just kind of disappears up into the roof for the rear passenger doors. But I think that it's refreshing. And I when I see them on the road, I always do a double take just because it's like, man, Mazda has really come a long way with their styling. Like, they've done a really good job on this.
I agree. Refreshing for me also. I'm going to make a bold statement here. I think Mazda is the Aston Martin of the Japanese automakers. They're just design wise. Of course, I think they're making really beautiful, understated vehicles that look like they can stand the test of time. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Next up on the list, the 2022 Mitsubishi Outlander. Outlander is actually a really cool car because it's been in the Mitsubishi lineup for quite some time. This has been their staple SUV. You know, of course, there's the Eclipse Cross, which we're not going to talk about because they did our boy pretty bad over there. But refreshing, repulsive. What do you think about the Mitsubishi Outlander?
I want to like it, but. You know what? It reminds me a lot of the Hyundai Palisade. I think that they're starting to take this design mantra of, you know, main headlights being these kind of weird cutouts. Kind of like that. What is that Jeep? That strange Jeep that has like... the circular headlights, and then it's got the teeny LEDs up at the top. But like the headlights, the low beams are these like little circles that are, I think it might, I don't, you know what? I think it's a Cherokee. It's like a weird off. It's like an off brand Cherokee. It's not the Grand Cherokee. I think it's just a Cherokee, but it has like some small LEDs at the top.
You're right. Yeah.
And the new Hyundai Palisade literally looks, the grill is kind of inverted, and my neighbor has one, but it's a similar design where it's got like the low beam and it's got like the little LED strip at the top. I do kind of want to like this though. I think I'm going to call it refreshing just because it looks very destructive. Like it can run through a house and come out the other end and it'll be, you know, it's very imposing. They've also kind of got like this Trailblazer C pillar, a little black strip at the back, like right underneath the roof. So it's kind of giving it more of like a raked look to it. But the front, it just looks a little bulbous. I don't know. The only reason I wanted to call it refreshing is because we've had like four in a row, and like for the foreseeable future, the rest will, you know. Anyway, I don't know, man. I think I might have to break it with this one. I might have to call this one a dud.
Repulsive. Oh man, the vehicle you're thinking about is 2014. Jeep Cherokee. You are correct, because that's when they split the Jeep Cherokee and the Grand Cherokee, and they look a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So you are correct. Yes, that's the one with the weird headlights, and I do see that here, and I do see the Palisade comparisons here. I gotta say though, I like this thing. This reminds me out of something from Star Wars, and like if something from Star Wars had sex with like Optimus Prime, and then like
in the middle of transforming.
And then in the middle of transforming, then Juggernaut came and helped deliver the weird monster baby. Like, this is what it is. It's like half Land Rover. It's half, it has these huge fog lights that kind of remind me of the Juke. Like, it's, like this thing. I don't know why I like it.
So I had to Google it to look up some more images just because the angle to me, it was not very flattering, but like seeing it on the move, they've got it in some other colors. They've got the back of it. Like, it does look really good. I actually really like it. It kind of reminds me of a kind of like a more refined 4Runner, especially when I see the side profile of it. Like, it looks very, it looks more luxurious than it should be. Good. Yeah.
It gives me Velar vibes. Like, it is so nuts.
Yeah.
And then if you zoom in on those fog lights, there's like four other lamps in there or something. Like, it looks, it's really cool.
This is about to be the new like wide grill. Is this mishmash of like headlight thing that's happening across the manufacturers now? it looks cool though, just because the LED strips are so teeny at the top, and when they're on, it's like very. It looks, it's a different type of look. So
it's just refreshing. Won't last long. It's. I mean. It's refreshing for now, but I think in 5 years we're going to be like, what the fuck was that? sorry, some blatant expletives right there. Refreshing for me. It looks like we changed your mind on that. So we're still going strong. This is the 2021 Dodge Duranger. Duranger.
Duranger.
Duranger.
This is the Dodge Duranger. Just
Duranger. I said it again. Not even trying.
Sorry, guys. We know what this is. We know what cars are.
This Dodge is Durango.
This is the Dirge Duranger.
I've never had to sound out a word in so long. These last two episodes have been bad for the reading situation. Durango SRT Hellcat. Obviously, I'm going to say it's refreshing. It looks great. It's on a platform that's been like this for what, 5-6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, is it time for a change?
No, it's not the time for a change.
No,
Dodge doesn't think so. Dodge is going to keep making the Challenger the way that it is for the next 20 years until, and when they stop selling is when they're going to change it. And they're never going to stop selling. They're just going to keep making it that way. But this is an easy refresher.
But I'm not mad at that.
No. Yeah, it's perfect.
But you know what? I'm not mad at what you said. Yeah. Yeah. I think Dodge should keep up with what they're doing. I think the minimal changes every facelift in gen is smart, because if you look at some of the most timeless, beautiful cars that people continue to love. We could talk about the G-Wagon. You could talk about the Land Cruiser, which is no longer with us. You could talk about Jeep, of course, the 911. All those cars have been, I mean, the Beetle until it was killed off. All those cars have been pretty much unchanged for years, and I think it's a good idea, and I like this a lot.
Agreed. 700 plus horsepower is also helpful.
right. You could fling yourself around in that and have a good time.
But disclaimer that Sean is not hurdling himself in something that weighs 6,000 pounds with 700 horsepower. So,
I mean, if it has the brakes for it, sure. But every time I go fast in my Tiguan, it's like the thing doesn't want to stop. And I mean, feel like I'm going to kill myself. It's ridiculous. Such a big car should not have such small brakes. I don't understand.
I agree.
So back ridiculous.
To the drawing board, Volkswagen.
No, they'll just come up with some other. They'll just make another car off the same platform for the 12th time. They have so many. Like they have the Volkswagen Taos coming out now, and then there's the that's bullcrap. I'm so sick of it.
I know.
Let's talk about something more fun here. Let's see if we keep the refreshing going with one more. This is the Genesis X Coupe. This caused a frenzy. Gosh.
Look at this
positivity.
Thing.
Man. I'm gonna let you go off, bro. Just take it,
man. Yeah, Genesis is. I think I said a couple episodes ago as well. Like Genesis is just—they're killing everybody. They're making everybody look bad. The proportions, the hood length. I think this really. And I think you might have mentioned this in a side conversation that we had. But the Polestar vibes. You know, the Polestar 1 and just being able to have that long roof line with like short overhang at the rear and like a very nicely sculpted midsection. It's very you'd think that it's very easy to make a very pretty front engined car that's not, you know, that doesn't look like, you know, an Aston Martin or, you know, something like that, because it's the same formula for everything. But this Genesis has not made anything like this before. So the fact that it's, you know, showing of their first effort really speaks volumes to how far they've come in the design language that they exhibit. The only thing is, of course, and I mentioned it to Sean before, is that they've got some Adidas stripes that they didn't seem to know when to stop emanating from the hood here. Hopefully part of the render, and hopefully you don't get hit in that part of your car because your whole headlight's going to go out at that point. But yeah, refreshing for me all the way around. You guys should Google it. Genesis X Coupe.
Yeah, I mean, this is their EV coupe. I mean, this is the Tesla Fighter. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'm going to say it. I mean, it looks like it's something from the 70s, but somehow also from the 2000s, but everything now. It's got this wonderful mesh Superman-esque grill up front, and oh my gosh, like just the aero on the front fascia is so insane.
It's very nicely integrated. And I also did a quick Google search, and what came up as well was the Bentley Bacalar, which is another one of my most, that is on my short list of, definitely of drop tops, coach built. Just, I mean, Bentleys already are something to a sight to behold, but this gives me those vibes as well. Like the fact that that vehicle is mentioned in the same conversation as this one is different.
Yeah. I can't agree with you more. The Bentley Bacalar is just something special. And I think Bentley's whole line with the Continental GT is just, look, I'm speechless. I really can't say anything else. It's some of my favorite cars right now.
Yeah.
And I agree. The fact that we're talking about Genesis and Bentley in the same breath, just aesthetically. Not even performance. You know, performance-wise, Bentley's going to have it. But holy crap.
Right.
How far we've come.
Go Genesis.
The last thing I'll say about this Genesis is I think what really ties it together that I think is overlooked, because everything is beautiful, right? Like the hood, the front fascia, rear overhang, as you mentioned. The thing that really is overlooked that makes it really beautiful and pulls it together are the wheels. I think those understated, simple, clean, timeless five spoke design, they look like they're just alloy. They don't even look like chrome. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like like a dark brushed alloy or something.
Yeah.
It's simplicity, it's a yes, man.
Simplicity. How much do you think this will cost?
It might start around, I wouldn't be surprised if it was around 85, 90 or something like that.
This is the EV that I'd spring for. Agreed. Like, this is the EV. I'd put all my eggs in the basket for this car.
I agree.
Daily that and everything. Awesome. I don't care. Yeah.
It's such a pretty car.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And this is just one angle. I couldn't pick one. I just couldn't pick any other. I didn't know what angle to pick.
It looks like the Bacalar from the rear, too.
It does. Yeah, because those taillights there.
Even the logo, even the Genesis logo. Man, I see what they're doing now. We see what you've done there.
They took Aston and Bentley and said, we're going to take a little bit of this. We're going to take a little bit of that. And
you're not going to complain about this.
Right, right. We're not going to complain about it. Man, well, that is one hell of a show. Listen, this has been fun. We are 6 episodes in a row. The streak is healthy and live.
We got this.
We got this. This is good stuff, man. Really excited about the cars we talked about. The BRZ, the GT86, even the Kia Carnival got a lot of love. And we changed Mark Anthony's mind about the Mitsubishi Outlander, which has been a lot of fun.
Now I like it a lot now.
Now he's gonna go buy one. But yeah, this has been a great episode. Listen, you guys, make sure you follow us on Instagram at @through_the_apex. If you want to get in touch with us, you have any questions, our Instagram is the place to go. You can also go to askapexpod@gmail.com. My name is Sean Rosa. You can follow me at @realSeanRosa on Instagram, and you can get in touch with me or see some of my content at SeanRosa.com.
Yes, and I'm at @MarkAnthony_Murray on Instagram. Website MachineGain-Labs.com, and our Instagram. I don't know if my short-term memory is kicking in, but our Instagram is @through_the_apex. Please, please, please go there and check out some ancient content soon to be updated, and give us a shout. Give us any questions. We want to hear.
And make sure you follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, and of course rate the podcast. 5-star reviews are welcome. We'd love to get some more feedback and grow this thing as much as we can.
It's a until movement.
Then we're moving. It's a movement. Yes, until then, rest in peace, DMX, yeah. We'll catch you on the other side.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Through the Apex. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at @through_the_apex. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.